again. Or the big guy, Daniel Brigman. He and I both are likewise big guys. And we've met before. We sized each other up. And if we were in high school again, we'd probably be on the opposing teams, maybe the same team, for wrestling. Anyway, we love our topics. We love to talk about the things we're passionate about. Some of you know that I am one of the all-time experts on the topic of globalization, in particular on the original order of the Trilateral Commission. I wrote the book with Professor Anthony Sutton many years ago called Trilaterals Over Washington, Volumes 1 and 2, actually. That's available still on my website, technocracy.news, and on amazon.com as well. And I also have become a leading expert on the topic of technocracy. Most recently, I've written a book called Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. My original book on introducing that topic was Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. And we're not going to talk about technocracy today. Generally, we might bring it up a little bit along the way, but I do want to point out at the top of this hour that the views that you hear from this program, from me and from my guests today, we've got some great guests lined up, are those that belong to us exclusively. And we're not saying that that we are endorsing anybody else's views anywhere, nor is anybody else's views endorsing us. We're just saying what we're saying. And today we're going to be talking about some interesting topics like the First Amendment, which is a constitutional amendment, the Bill of Rights, of course. We're going to be talking about COVID-19 and all of the political policies that surround the pandemic today. That is things like wearing face masks for everybody and social distancing and other things like that. And in the first hour, in particular, we're going to be talking about the concept of the First Amendment as it relates to all of these things just mentioned. And I've got a great guest lined up for the first hour. And for the second hour, we're going to be talking about the technical side, the medical side of these topics. And our second hour guest will be Dr. Russell Blaylock, who is a very well-known, internationally known, I might add, neurosurgeon, retired now from surgery practice, but he is a prolific writer and researcher. And those of you who know Dr. Blaylock will absolutely enjoy what he has to say, because he's going to give you the straight scoop on what these face masks are all about and what this social distancing is all about from a medical point of view. And you do not want to miss that interview for sure. But first off, the big question that I want to kind of get out on the table here as relates to the political practices of COVID-19 and the global pandemic, I call it the Great Panic of 2020. We're going to talk about how this relates to the Constitution and to the First Amendment in particular, because I believe this is a huge, huge issue that's been overlooked and under-talked about in the media, alternative media, as well, of course, as the mainstream media. You don't get anything there. But you'll see that there is a tremendous connection to the First Amendment right now, and it's under intense attack. Several years ago, about almost 3 years ago now, I was concerned enough personally about the so-called, now we know, as collusion between big tech media like Facebook and Twitter and Google and so on, that there was a censorship going on that seemed to be almost like a circular censorship where one person would get banned on Facebook and then boom, 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 you see them banned everywhere else as well. It's almost like these giants were talking to each other. This is very disturbing to me as editor of Technocracy News and Trends at the time. So I created a foundation, a nonprofit foundation called Citizens for Free Speech. And this is available for you to see, of course, at citizensforfreespeech.org. But I created this organization in order to defend and support the First Amendment. I realized it was under intense attack. And so we set after this. We've been working now for some time, and we're starting to get some traction on it nationally. But we talk almost exclusively about the First Amendment, how it's being chipped away at, and what we can do to shore it up, to bring it back into play in the American scene here. We know from all of the new stuff that's happening around the world, the world's crazy right now. That's all I can say. It's absolutely nuts. It's gone off the rails. There's so much illogic and so much crazy, irrational stuff going on. You just shake your head. But there's a plot to this, as we know. And there's also a solution to this, as we know. We're going to talk a bit about that as well. So I want to bring in my first guest. Having said all those things, you don't want to hear me talk at this point. You want to hear my guest talk. I'm going to bring in the first guest for this hour. His name is Mr. Bob France. And you may not have heard of him before. His name is not, he's not French, by the way, in the sense is F-R-A-N-C-E. His name is actually F-R-A-N-T-Z. So it's a little bit different. But Bob is a 23-year veteran in the mass media and communications industry. He's a well-known radio talk show host in Cleveland, Ohio. He's with WHKAM 1420, and that is associated, by the way, with Salem Media. And he's a frequently heard as a guest host. You may have heard him other than the guest host for other national talk show personalities such as Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewlett, Larry Elder, and some others as well. He's a two-time local Emmy Award winner. And he has extensive experience in journalism. He's also a talented public speaker. Oh, he does a lot of stuff. He studied carefully, interest in the U.S. Constitution, in particular the First Amendment. It makes him uniquely qualified to be involved with CFFS, and he is, as a matter of fact, as the National Director of Communications. Bob, welcome to the program on the Power Hour today.
Pat Trickwood, it is an honor to be with you, and I'm a little bit worried now you're coming for my job. Pat, can you hear me? Okay, I seem to have lost you, Pat. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, I can't quite. I don't know if there's a connection issue here or not, but I was kind of jokingly saying that you're coming after my job because I like you sitting in as a guest host. You bring so much of a wealth of knowledge with so many things like this. So I think it's very good, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be invited onto the program with you. So I don't know, again, if you can hear me or not and hear your first question.
Yes, I can. I'm right with you. That was my fault. Yep. Soundboard sometimes does things that are just not expected.
And, I know I don't that. Know. Believe me, no I know that.
I know you've probably overcome all those issues over the last 25 years, but I haven't. So we're here. We have this this program today, which is at the generous accommodation of the Power Hour radio program, and Daniel Brigman in particular is the normal host here. And I hope nobody's disappointed they don't get to hear Daniel today, but they're going to get an earful about COVID and about some other angles, the First Amendment, and so on. So, Bob, I think we want to start out and talk about just generally the political agenda that seems to be behind the influx of all of these draconian and dictatorial edicts coming out of governors and mayors and county commissioners and stuff like that. It seems that this is not just limited to America either. It's also in other countries, but we'll limit our comments to America for now. Is there a political agenda in your mind behind this seemingly coordinated attack on the citizenry by all of these draconian orders that are coming down? What do you think?
Well, Pat, I think it's twofold, to be honest with you. I think one is political and the other one is social control, which can also be traced back to political goals of people who believe in big government, of more importantly, big government officials who want to have control in big government. So there's kind of an element of both of those things. And here's what I mean. From the political side, simply take a look at what was done just with respect to the protest movement that's gone on for the last 5 weeks plus. We know that there's a roughly 5 to 14 day incubation period for virus transmission to be detectable in tests. And what we were, we've of course passed that stage now, and it just so happens coincidentally, to those who are politically minded in this endeavor, it just so happens to be that the spike in COVID cases that we are seeing happened at the time we saw all of these protests, with thousands of people collectively, tens of thousands of people, maybe more, all across the country in various cities, all going out there screaming at the top of their lungs, most of them without masks, none of them doing any social distancing as they protested, as they looted, as they rioted, and as they complained, and as they chanted, and as they marched, and so on and so forth. And that has essentially been given a pass by elected officials, particularly in Democratic states, and by the mainstream media, which essentially carries the water for many of those elected officials in Democratic positions. This was ignored. President Trump has a rally in Tulsa. President Trump gets people out to other events, you know, that are not necessarily protest oriented, and he is told, and we are told, this is incredibly dangerous. This is incredibly risky. You're putting people's lives at risk. You shouldn't be getting together. You shouldn't have your convention. In Florida, they were going to have it in North Carolina, but they wouldn't let them have it in full, so they moved it to Florida. You shouldn't have that. All these people getting close together, are going to cause another spike in the COVID. So the way that those two things are presented and the way that they're covered, as a matter of fact, the current orders in the state of California, for an example, by Governor Gavin Newsom, include the words, hold on for a second, I've got to try to remember it now because I read it on my program this morning. They include the words, avoid gatherings, that's what it was, avoid gatherings and get-togethers, and that was bullet point number 4 in their list of 5 bullet point orders, and number 5 was protests are still allowed. So if you want to gather with your friends for a party, if you want to have a celebration of your graduate, if you want to go to mass and be in a large group of people, that is forbidden. But if you want to protest and get out there by the hundreds or thousands, go right ahead. So that lets you know that there is a political agenda to this. And the other point with respect to the politics of it all, Pat, you saw the job numbers in June, I'm talking about when the job numbers in June came out for May, they were astounding with the job growth and the rebound of the economy as quickly as it was. Then in July, just this past Thursday, on July 2nd, when the job numbers came out for the month of June, they were even better. 4.8 million new jobs, over the forecast, 2.9 million new jobs. The unemployment rate was supposed to drop down to 12.9. It dropped down to 11.1, I think is what the numbers were. Spectacular numbers showing that all these new jobs? Not really. There are people going back to work at their jobs, prior to the shutdown. But, Pat, every time there is a positive step forward like this, we see the new mandates, new mask orders, new restrictions, some of the states closing back up again, others stopping their phased-in reopenings. Because my belief is that, yes, November 3rd is when all of this is going to magically go away, or maybe November 4th. The Democrats who are in control of the big blue states see this economy coming back faster than it ever was supposed to, and they know that if it continues to do that in July and in August and in September and in October, Donald Trump is going to win re-election. And so I believe that there is a political motivation to slow everything down, slow that growth down, complain about the spiking COVID cases, even though the deaths continue to drop, which means the mortality rate is even lower. But they're going to complain about the number of cases. They're going to start closing things back up again because, again, the economy was President Trump's biggest reelection issue before COVID, and now that it is starting to rebound again, it will be his biggest part of his platform coming back, for reelection, rather, and they're just not going to allow that to happen. So I really do believe there's a political end to this, and then there is a power and control aspect to this as well.
You know, it's interesting in Arizona right now, which is where I am from, we have a Republican governor. His name is Doug Ducey. And he ran conservative, of course, coming into his administration. And there have perhaps been a few things that he's done that have been good for Arizona. but he is a globalist through and through nonetheless. He also has closed down our state again. He's implemented, again, very strict social distancing rules, very strict face mask rules, and cities and counties around the state now are implementing those policies. It's interesting to note that as a Republican, he's picking and choosing who will be winners and losers in business as well. There was one sports or health fitness organization here in the Phoenix area who had been shut down for 3 months previously and weathered through that crisis. They have several hundred employees, by the way. They're a big operation. And the owner of that organization stood up and said, Governor Ducey, we will not shut down. We will not shut down again. We're not going to completely destroy our business over your edict. And he was very defiant and in a very rightful way. Well, interesting enough, the police showed up at his door, this owner's door, the business, not too long after that, and they cited him for disobeying the governor's orders. And what's really interesting, what's going to come to play on this in the end, now this is a Republican governor, not a Democrat governor, what's going to be interesting in the end of this is to see just where the larger picture lies. Is it all strictly 100% Democrat fueled, or is there something perhaps a little bit higher that seems to be infiltrating Republican circles as well as Democrat circles? But this is happening across the country. And even in more conservative states, like supposedly, you know, Arizona is supposed to be a red state. I'm not so sure about that right this second, but supposed to be. We see these same policies being worked out. And by and large, they have absolutely no scientific backing behind them to do it. That is one of the key things to me that tells me there's something political going on here. Because if there were actual demonstrated science behind wearing face masks or behind social distancing or even behind contact tracing for that matter, then these things would not be taking place because those things, as science says, simply that those things are not effective in the spread to control the spread of the virus. Money would be spent elsewhere. So there definitely seems to be a political agenda here, and it seems to be, to me, a little bit higher, perhaps, than just the typical left-right divide, which would be Republican-Democrat, or maybe you could say, you know, right-wing, left-wing. Everybody seems to be getting on the bandwagon. Do you have any thoughts as to why this seems to be kind of everywhere and not just...
Yeah. Well, you're right. It's not 100% Democrat versus Republican. In fact, here in my home state of Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine was the first one to start shutting things down in early March. And, of course, the promise was just for 15 days. Give us 15 days to flatten the curve, to make sure that we don't get overrun in the health centers, and then we'll put everybody back to work again, blah, blah, blah. Well, here we sit, you know, 4.5 months later, and we are still under serious restrictions. So it's definitely not – and he's a Republican, of course, was my point to that, Mike DeWine is. So it's definitely not all Democrat. But here's what it is, I think, Pat, is – there's a lot of fear from even some Republican governors because many of the masses have been terrified by what the news media is doing with this. Now, you mentioned the science and you mentioned the data. It is absolutely 100% the data is not supportive of all of these restrictive measures. The number of cases that are going up, many of them, and the CDC has admitted this, that they have combined positive cases, meaning they people who actually have the virus right now, with antibodies tests, which shows that people had the disease in the past or the virus in the past. So they're taking all of these numbers and putting this massive number of new tests out there, or new cases out there, rather, because of the testing. And then again, because of the protests, but they refuse to blame the thousands and thousands of people who gathered together and then took the virus perhaps back to other people. But they're trying to scare the bejesus out of people into not living their lives, into not leaving their house, into not going to the movies, into not eating inside of a restaurant, into not being anywhere other people are without a mask on. And so those people are starting to register their fear. And you can see it on social media. You can see it on Twitter, mostly, and certainly on Facebook, too, where people are screaming at other people, if you don't wear the mask, you're killing people. You know, if you don't wear the mask, you don't care about other people. Well, guess who else hears that, Pat? The governors, Governor Ducey, Governor DeWine, other people like that who are Republicans who don't want to harm the president for the reasons that I described Democrat governors wanting to for, you know, political purposes, strictly in winning the election on November 3rd. But you have governors who are self-protective of their own political futures. And if they sense that the masses are expressing fear, I mean, here in Ohio, they're screaming at Mike DeWine for not imposing a statewide mask mandate the way they have in other states. They're yelling at him by, if you look at Twitter, by a very significant number. And there are a lot fewer of us who are screaming, no, this is the right thing to do. Let people make their own choices with how they're going to deal with their own health and whether or not they want to wear these masks. But there are so many people screaming at the governors. I think that even Republican governors then, looking at their own political futures, are saying, you know, I've got to look at the way the winds are blowing here. And the winds are blowing with people being afraid. And the reason people are afraid is because of, as I said in my first commentary, the news media is making them afraid. And I'll be honest with you, social media, not the users, the Twitter people that I've mentioned that were screaming, but the moderators are guiding public opinion by masking and hiding things that do not go along with the narrative of the virus and its dangers and the efficacy of masks, and then featuring things that do go along with their narrative. So you have all of those things up, and you got a lot of Republican governors, too, who are just afraid of losing, you know, their base as they run for re-election. I think that's why a lot of Republicans have joined Democrats in that effort.
I think you're right, and we're coming up to our first break this hour. We will be right back. Don't turn up. Here today, Bob Krantz and myself, Patrick Wood. We'll be right back after the short message.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum!
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And we're back to the Power Hour. Patrick Wood here, sitting in for Daniel Brigman. I'm pleased to be here with you today. We're talking with Bob France, a very well-known radio talk show host in Cleveland, Ohio. And we're talking about COVID-19. We're talking about the coronavirus. We're talking about the political reaction to the coronavirus around the country. And we're also going to be talking about now about the First Amendment in relation to those things in particular. I mentioned earlier in the program that some time ago I founded citizensforfreespeech.org. I would encourage you to go there, by the way, and to sign up, join us as a member of Citizens for Free Speech. There is no charge to do that. And it would be good that you would stand with us to support and defend the First Amendment of our country, because if we lose this, we lose everything. Maybe that hasn't occurred to you before, but that is really the case. Here's what the First Amendment says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people for peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. You will notice there's five things contained in the First Amendment. And the First Amendment was placed in the stack, by the way, on purpose as the First Amendment, because everything flows downhill from our ability to communicate. So as we talk about, for instance, the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, when the government tells churches that the only way that they can worship now is to wear face masks and socially distance, and in the case of Governor Newsom, he told everybody in churches around California, you should not even sing, because when you sing, you're broadcasting this horrible virus stuff all over the place, and other people might get sick, and we want to save lives. So the government is now telling people how to practice their religion, not right. Well, now we have freedom of the speech and freedom of the press, and we know that that's just being totally decimated today with all of this. How can you have freedom of speech when you're muzzled and you're 6 feet apart from everybody? See, it just doesn't work. I don't care what anybody says about the First Amendment. Oh, we're not taking away the First Amendment. Yes, you are. People cannot communicate at all if they are wearing masks and standing 6 feet apart. They have to yell. They have to shout. Who knows? They use sign languages, pump their fists. Who knows what they do? And freedom of the press is out the window, too, as we know, because of rampant censorship between, like, Google and Facebook and Twitter and the other social media platforms. And we know that the right of the people to peaceably assemble, unless you're left-wing BLM slash Antifa, we have no right to peaceably assemble now. In many states, there's a limit on assembly, like anywhere from 10 to 50 people at a time. And that means no political protest for you, except if you're lawbreakers and you're willing to go out and trash cars and burn stores and do stuff like that. Then it seems to be okay. By the way, Portland, Oregon, just had its 38th day of civil unrest, and they declared a riot two nights ago again at 11 o'clock at night. I don't know how many times they've actually declared a riot, but those people seem to get a free pass, and even though they do get shooed away after they start wanting to burn cars and stuff like that, nevertheless, they're out roaming around doing whatever the heck they want to do, but peaceful citizens who are normal citizens who just want to talk about constitutional issues and things that are happening in the community and stuff, they're denied the right now to get out and talk about it. So, Bob, here's the first question. Is this entire COVID scenario a directed attack against the First Amendment, or is it just incidental?
I said in my first response, Pat, that it's kind of a twofold thing, and I really only focused on one of them, which was the politics and the political side of it. The other part was about social control, or quite frankly, about controlling the population. So because I believe that to be one of the reasons why the COVID has been portrayed and policies have been made the way they have about it, the answer is yes. This is, you know, part of controlling a population is controlling its speech. Part of controlling a population is controlling its ability to assemble, its ability to communicate with one another effectively. That is exactly what has been done in other countries that became dictatorships, that became human rights oppressive regimes, and that's what a lot of people, quite frankly, envision happening here. You mentioned Portland; it's the home, essentially, it's the hub, anyway, of Antifa in the United States. Antifa is backed and supported by the Revolutionary Communist Party of the United States. They are backed and supported and working in collaboration with the revolutionary abolitionists. They're backed and supported by and collaborating with Black Lives Matter, the organization. And all of those groups have the goal of ending capitalism and, quite frankly, the liberty that we have in this republic. And what better way to start to advance those aims? And all of these things are laid out in, you know, the 45 rules for establishing communism in the United States, in Alinsky's, you know, rules for radicals. All of these things are laid out, Pat. So, no, it's not just incidental to the COVID-19. It's part, in other words, you know, let no crisis, no good crisis go to waste. It's something that we've heard many times from many different liberals, you know, Rahm Emanuel among them. I think he's credited by some as being the person to coin that. So they're taking the George Floyd protests and they're coupling it with the COVID-19 situation, and they're using it to silence dissent of any kind. If you speak out against government shutdowns, you are going to be shut down, censored. If you speak out against the radical protests and the Black Lives Matter movement, which, again, is not about black lives. Of course, Black Lives Matter. It's about political and social control. It's about deconstructing, by their own words and their own mission statements, again, the traditional societal norms that we have established in this country, which apply to everybody. So, you know, you mentioned the freedom of religion and the prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It is exactly what they're doing. My Catholic Church and all of the Catholic churches in our diocese were told the same thing. Don't sing. So there's no hymns. There's no singing. There's an organ, a lonely organ playing during Mass, and nobody gets to sing because they don't want to project their droplets through, by the way, the mandatory masks that people have to wear in church as well. That is directly impacting the establishment, or excuse me, the free exercise of religion. And you mentioned about assembly, and we can go through all of those again. But no, Pat, it's not incidental. It's not coincidental. It is intentional. They saw an opportunity, and they're seizing it. The Bill of Rights, the Constitution as a whole, did not include a clause at the very end of it that says this is contingent upon there not being a pandemic. It does not say that all of the above is rendered null and void if there is a pandemic. These rights are forever, and they are absolute. They are not man-made. They are God-given, and we are watching man destroy them.
Well, it seems to me that we are. The founders of the Constitution placed the First Amendment first for a reason. It has to do with communication, as I said. Communication is the foundation of a constitutional republic. And when communication is dysfunctional, when communication is not effective, trouble always follows. In other words, division and anarchy and confusion and chaos automatically follow the human condition when communication is rendered dysfunctional. And this has happened across the First Amendment in every case here. And if it wasn't bad enough already before the pandemic hit, now that the pandemic has hit, see that the trap has been fully sprung on the First Amendment. The problem here is that the Second Amendment was the Second Amendment on purpose. They did it there. They put it second on purpose because they knew if communication were broken down, that the next level of defense is going to be some type of an armed defense against armed rebellion. And that is, in fact, what we see right now in its initial stages. And I don't want to talk too much about this because I think people could be aware of what's in the news right now, where the people that are causing the riots, causing the looting and so on, are increasingly seen carrying arms themselves as if to, inflict bodily harm on people with those weapons. And this has nowhere to go but bad to worse. The answer to this is to somehow restore effective communication back to America. Now, the question is, how are we going to do that? How are we going to calm down the rhetoric? How are we going to calm down the hysteria to get people communicating again in a proper way? Do you have any thoughts, Bob?
How to calm down the hysteria? The bottom line is, Pat, people have to be defiant. You know, it's kind of funny. When you listen to the far left defending their protests, they're saying that's how the only way things have been, have gotten done in the past is because of protesting. You know, that's why the reason we got the Civil Rights Act passed, and that's the reason why, the country was formed in the first place, because it was a protest against the oppressive British Crown. So people are using that as a reason to protest. Yet when we want to protest back or counter-protest, we are marginalized and minimized as being oftentimes racists or homophobes or bigoted in some other way. And so our protests are not being given the same merit, if you will, our counter protests are, that the original protesters get for being the oppressed, for being the minority. In other words, anybody who's in a majority, whether it be, in terms of male, female, or black, white, or Catholic, Muslim, or whatever the case might be, the protected class is the minority class. Their protests have validity. They have merit. They're righteous. The protests or counter protests of the majority have no validity. You're in power. You don't get to protest at all. And that's our dilemma. We need to rally together. We need to be able to organize and to coordinate in defense, not of tyranny, but to oppose tyranny in defense of the liberty that this country was founded upon. And Pat, our First Amendment rights are obviously sacrosanct. They are literally the only thing your points, by the way, about the Second Amendment are spot on. But God forbid that we have to rely on our Second Amendment rights because we're not able to advance the cause of the Constitution and of that Bill of Rights by using, the first of those amendments, by using our freedom of speech to coordinate and to express ourselves. So that's the dilemma. So I wish I had a better answer as to how we get that back because, we've been silenced so much, including – and I mentioned to you this in the first segment, the social media side of things. No matter what we try to present, we are at the mercy of the social media moderators who either shadow ban people and don't allow accounts like yours, ours, CFFS, the Citizens for Free Speech Twitter account, to continue to post things, to blocking or having them removed, saying they violate Twitter's terms of usage. Facebook putting liberal fact-check garbage overlays, if you will, over top of information that they don't want people to have. You know, I mean, I experienced that with a video that I posted that I shared of somebody proving it was a firefighter using an oxygen meter that they use to test the oxygen level in a room before they go in, you know, at the scene of a fire or at the scene of maybe a carbon monoxide situation. So, you know, he tested the air with the oxygen meter and then put the oxygen meter underneath the mask or several different types of masks and saw the oxygen level drop precipitously. I retweeted that because that's a pretty doggone good test. And Facebook covered it over with, this is fiction, this is false, here's why. And they give you a bunch of malarkey about carbon dioxide, which is the reality of the situation. Carbon dioxide displacing the oxygen in the masks is real. But they limit what we can say. They limit what we can hear. They limit what we can share with other people. And so because of that limitation, Pat, I don't know what the answer is about how we reclaim you know, our rights to communicate with one another effectively and freely, other than win the elections. You know, and I'm not trying to say this is not just a Trump commercial. Don't get me wrong. I think Donald Trump has done a lot of great things. I think he leaves a lot to be desired. But the fact of the matter is that if the party that is professing, you know, sometimes you have to believe people when they tell you what they are. And right now the Democrat Party is basically professing and telling you what they are, that they are going to remove history, they're going to remove our culture, anything that somebody finds offensive is going to be gone, and they're going to replace a lot of what's in that Bill of Rights with something that is unrecognizable unless you have lived through a socialist or Marxist or communist existence.
There's no doubt that we cannot expect any relief from government at this point, whether it's federal government, state government, or even local governments necessarily. But from the standpoint of individual people, it seems to me that the only possible solution now lies in the hands of actual citizens at the grassroots level. I hate to use that term in a way because it's overused, but individual citizens in their own communities. And let me tell you what the law says here. There was a brilliant statement of interest issued by the Department of Justice into a lawsuit that took place between Temple Baptist Church, this is just recently, against the city of Greenville, South Carolina. And the church filed a lawsuit stating that the city of Greenville had discriminated against the church unfairly, and for some of the reasons we just mentioned, by the way. And they filed this lawsuit to force the city of Greenville to quit its draconian crackdown on their church. So the Department of Justice issued its own statement of interest, which was filed in the court as a, I wouldn't say friend of the court document. That's not what it was called, but it was a third party statement. It just happened to be the Department of Justice. This is official, in other words. here's what that statement says in part that the DOJ filed in this lawsuit. They said there is no pandemic exception, however, to the fundamental liberties in the Constitution safeguards. Indeed, individual rights secured by the Constitution do not disappear during a public health crisis. These individual rights, including the protections in the Bill of Rights, that's what we're talking about here, made applicable to the states through the 14th Amendment, are always in force and restrain government action. And I want to stress the phrase, they're designed to restrain government action. Now, has government action effectively been restrained in the last 4 months, 5 months? No, it hasn't. But who would be the ones who are able to restrain the government or government action if not the people, the citizens of the governments? This is a brilliant statement that just tells people what our rights are. So has the First Amendment been nullified by the rule of law? No, it hasn't. But the people who are trying to pull the wool over ours are saying there's no application anymore for the First Amendment. And I have to bring into this, as my next question to you, Bob, is that the Facebooks of the world, the Twitters of the world are hiding behind the First Amendment themselves. They're saying, well, we're exercising free speech. This is our right to do so. we have constitutional rights as well. What do you say to that? How do you address that, Bob? Do they really have-
Well, I think we run into, in addition to freedom of the press, one of the other five elements of the First Amendment, or excuse me, freedom of speech is one of the other five elements, which is freedom of the press. I think Facebook and Twitter, particularly those two, because they're the two monoliths in this social media world, they have become de facto news sources. And nobody can tell the New York Times what to print. Nobody can tell Washington Post what to print. Nobody can tell, CBS or CNN what to say. So in that realm, they have become the press, I think, essentially. And because that's where so many, that's why so many actual newspapers are going out of business. People are reading all their news online. Sometimes the first thing they do is turn to Twitter and see what's in the news today. And that's an incredibly powerful thing. And it should be something that demands equality. It should be something that requires a balance of information, but they don't have to do that, like I said, because freedom of the press means freedom to publish pretty much whatever you want, unless it's provably or demonstrably harmful and false. They're right to say we can do what we want with our platforms. If you don't like it, do something yourself. Put together your own platform. And some people are trying to do that. There's alternative social media sites that have been developed, like Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. Some people pronounce it Parler in the French, I guess. But at any rate, it's a place that doesn't shadow ban. It doesn't censor. It doesn't block. It doesn't overlay. This isn't true because our moderators said so. It just allows people to speak freely. And that's a good start. But the problem is the head start that the Twitters and Facebooks have, 10, 15 years of a head start. And that's where so many people go to get their news. And if true believers in free speech abandon those platforms to start their own platforms, again, that's a great start. But then you literally surrender the quote unquote new age news to the leftists who are running the show on those platforms. So there is a free speech issue here. It does go both ways. They have the right to pretty much do what they want as an organization, especially if they are kind of considered press. They can editorialize all they want. But the people, should have a right to express themselves as well. And maybe the only way to do that, as I say, is to found and then support and to spread the word of, the alternative platforms that they can put together.
How could people restrain government action in this case? In any case, let's just talk about the government for a minute. The city mayors, the city councils, the county commissioners and so on that are passing some of these lower level but very effective orders to wear masks and to social distance and so on. How can people use things like this Department of Justice statement to restrain government action and hold them in check? Because I think most people would agree they've clearly gone out of bounds in many cases, overboard, and they're not doing things that really help the public, things that actually end up harming the public. How can citizens use the concept of restraining government action vis-a-vis the fact that the First Amendment and all the rest of them, of course, too, are still in effect regardless of what public health emergency we're facing?
You know what, Pat? I've considered this before in other conversations, and especially since, here in the area where I live, and I don't live in the city of Cleveland, Ohio, but I live about half an hour outside of it, and in the city of Cleveland, they just mandated masks in the city. And so I've been thinking about this too, and people have said, what are you going to do? If you go into the city and you don't have a mask on and they stop you and they issue you a $50 summons, or if it's a $50 citation, rather. And my answer to that is overwhelm the system. I mean, maybe the only thing we can do is flat out refuse and make it so overwhelming for them to even try to process that they stop. And what I mean by that is by the thousands. And it may take a platform like I have. Not everybody has that, but I have a microphone and a transmitter here. But maybe you get thousands of people swarming the downtown area, not to protest, not to do anything, silly. Chop, whatever. Just go downtown and exist without masks on in public places. Make them send police officers to hand out citation after citation after citation to the point where they just can't do it. And they realize, censorship of our First Amendment rights is to just overwhelm the system to the point where they realize, okay, this isn't sustainable. We can't make all of these people pay these, and we certainly can't even catch them all anyway if we all kind of respond en masse. So I think, you know, there's safety in numbers, Pat, and sometimes there's power in numbers. An individual is going to get a citation. 1,000 individuals are probably going to be allowed to go on, and then maybe they stop enforcing it altogether.
So essentially what you're saying is they have forced us into a position of civil disobedience at this point.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Civil disobedience is what is called for here. Because, you know, they're not going to lock anybody up. They're going to try to, you know, give you a fine. And it's like so many people with parking tickets, it's going to get crumpled up and thrown away. And let's see you drag this money out of me. And if you really try to, and if they try to do it to thousands of us, then maybe a class action lawsuit is called for. And then we'll say, let's see whether or not you really have. You know, you just read that great decision in that case. You know, so let's take it to the court of law, and let's see if you have the right to impose these upon me and to fine me if I do not comply. Let's just go ahead and see how this turns out in court.
And I think that's the bottom line. Anybody that gets a citation anywhere in our country for not wearing a face mask or not social distancing needs to demand that they will not accept that fine, but they want their day in court and go to court and go before a judge and let your case be known.
Exactly right.
I'm Patrick Wood for Power Hour Radio Program. We've been with Bob Frantz for the last hour. Bob, thank you for participating in the program. Stay tuned, folks.
At
the top of the hour, we will have with us Dr. Russell Blaylock. We're going to continue the discussion on face masks and the medical impact of face masks.
Means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.